Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Dadcast. Once again, we are on location somewhere in Southern Oregon. Today, we are at Vionette Realty. Yeah, with my man, Nick Martin. How are you, Nick?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm good. I love doing these on-site podcasts.
So much fun.
They are fun. Today's amazingly awesome special guest is Mr. Jason Smith of Vionette Realty. Hello, sir. How are you?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. I'm fantastic.
All right, man. We're glad to have you on here. We're glad to be in this lovely, well-lit, I'd like to call it arena.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Real estate arena.
Now I need to ask you, is this going to be a typical episode, or are we going to talk realty and business, or are we going to talk dadisms?
We're going to talk everything, because he actually wrote a children's book.
What? Yes. Let me see that thing.
This is awesome. He's also from Vegas.
What?
And he happens to know Ben and Brian.
Really?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Like good friends?
Not really. I was selling the Pioneer Saloon down there, and those guys came across my path. A couple of great guys.
Nice. That is amazing. Wow, small world we live in.
Right.
All right, well, Jason is a rite of passage. I don't know if you watched the show or have listened to it at all, but I think you know what the first question is. Are you a dad?
I am a dad.
How many kids you got, man?
I have two. Dylan and Kaiser, 15 and 17.
Nice. Dylan and Kaiser. I like those names. Yeah. When I worked at Pac Bell back in the day in Van Nuys, California. I don't ever recommend going to that city. That's twice in 2 days we brought up Van Nuys, Nick. That is so weird. But
twice in 2 days you don't recognize.
I was a 411 operator. Okay. So when you called 411, city and listing, please. And we had to have fake names. Dylan was the one I chose. So I got an affinity for that name.
All right.
Nice. Good stuff. Yeah. Both boys?
Yeah, both boys. Yep.
Mm-hmm. How has that been? Being a dad to two boys who are now entering that very, very walking on eggshell age of almost adulthood, not kids anymore, little kids, and hormones are going crazy. How have you navigated that?
Yeah, it's been good. I mean, I'm having to be a father a little mobily.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So my boys do. They live with their mom down in Las Vegas. Still.
Okay.
When they were 1 and 3, she decided to move back home with her mom. She's been there ever since. So it's been a little bit different. The dynamic's been a little bit different probably than a lot of other dads out there. I've been back and forth to Las Vegas about 3 times. This last time, I had to move out of the city, move up here, business opportunity. Plus I'm from Central Point originally, right, from Southern Oregon. So I wanted to move back home. You know, sometimes you can't, as a divorced dad, you can't always be there in the ways that you like to be. But I figured if I could be up here, a good area, good people, at least I could spend that really good quality time with them on summers, Christmas breaks. And then, of course, I try and correspond as much as possible. Down in Las Vegas, it was a little bit more of a challenge.
Yeah.
It's just the area, right? But it's been a process. It's been a lot different. You know, any other divorced dads out there know that when you have to go through that process, it's a real challenge. It's that's one of the reasons why I wrote that book. That book was when they were really young.
Okay.
And I actually went through that housing crisis down there in Las Vegas. I was in real estate back then. And it was about 2010. I got to a point where I needed to get back on my mission, which is helping these other kids. Right. So I had a nice house, Hummer, real estate business, construction business, and I got to a point where I just said, okay, I'm going to walk away from this right now. I'm going to follow God's path. I sold everything that I owned, moved to India for 4 months.
Wow.
And did a ton of writing. So that book was just a small part of what I did there. The majority of it is a program that I'm still kind of working on. I'm very excited to be on the show with you guys and hopefully move back on that direction, move back on my path. And it's a program called Teach Us to Fish.
Okay.
And it's for all those kids out there who don't have a dad in the house all the time, don't really have anybody to look up to, kids who, you know, from divorced families or maybe their dad's incarcerated, they're not around.
Right.
So I'm going to get back on that path. But that book is really good. It's called We Share When We Sleep. And what it's about, it's when I was over there on the other side of the world and how the kids are kind of sharing, you know, me with other people over there. I taught some English and some classes to some Tibetan refugees. And but the summary of it, and it's kind of dedicated to military families, you know, if they have a father overseas, right, can't be there every day. But it's about sharing all different type of aspects. So the final conclusion is, you know, kind of probably a point I was trying to get to my ex-wife was you need to share the kids with me, right?
Right.
It's about sharing your parents. So I did that for them. You know, it's wesharewhensleep.com. You can go there, get a free copy. If you want to get the book, you can. I set it up so it could just be donated to.
Amazing. So there it is. We Share When We Sleep by Mr. Jason Smith over here. And just backing up from the beginning of what you just told us, we've done enough episodes now and spoken with enough different dads from all walks of life to know that, man, your story isn't, unfortunately, all that uncommon.
Yeah.
At all.
We actually have something in common. I am a divorced dad, and I went months without seeing my kids, and it was a battle of getting my ex to understand we need to share. We need to put our differences aside. We're adults. Do what's best for the kids, and we're finally at a point where that's happening, and it took a long time.
Yeah, I mean, it's taken us many years. We're finally getting to that point, too, but... Yeah. I mean, you know, I moved up here away from them when I was, you know, when they were a little bit younger, actually up back to Oregon. And I got a call from my mom. She said that she had the boys over and the little one was acting up a little bit. Kaiser was. And then, you know, he was three. Dylan was five. And he said, well, Grandma, why don't you just give him one of those angry pills to calm him down? And I said, what? Right. So I moved back within 7 days. It was a 2-year drawn out court process. It took a lot out of me. But the final conclusion was she had him on a bunch of medications just to sedate him. So, you know, we worked past all that. They're in good spirits. They're both down there. And they're on the honors roll, 3.6, 3.7. One's going to graduate this year.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So the relationship now is you're all good?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think you just have to work past that. You know, when you get past your emotions and realize this is not about you and your ex, it's about the kids. So you can really make some progress.
And that's always what it's about.
Yeah.
I can't speak to the position both of you gentlemen have been in. I've been fortunate enough to have both of my kids are in my life 24/7 with mom. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I don't wish that upon anyone. I couldn't imagine having my hearts who live outside of my body, not being at my beck and call. And I'm fortunate to not have to have experienced that, but that inevitable time when that does happen for all of us, regardless of the position you hold or where you're in, when they become adults and want to go adventure in the world, it's coming.
Yeah,
it's coming, man, and I'm not looking forward to that at all. I think about it now, and it gives me some anxiety.
We're kind of dealing with that, though, with our daughters. Like, I don't know about yours, but my daughter, because, like, I'm 17, Dad. I can do what I want, when I want, where I want, I'm like, no.
She did it the other day. Yeah. She walks, because she got, you know, she's got her car now.
Uh-huh.
She got the car back, by the way, Nick.
Oh, nice.
And it hasn't been totaled after 2 days of driving. Pretty impressed.
So
my 17-year-old daughter, she's got her license.
Okay.
And within 24 hours, got an accident.
Oh, man.
And
you got to go back and tell the whole story, though. He sends me a picture from the mall parking lot of his daughter's car wrecked with no daughter in sight.
Yeah, there's and no phone calls. Now, this is my stepdaughter, mind you. Let me put it in perspective. So she splits time with her father, who's a great dad, and our house. And it has been that way since she's been 3 years old. So, yeah, this happened to be a night when she was at her dad's. And I'm getting In-N-Out Burger with me and the boy, and we pull out, and I see a Honda. I'm like, that looks like Chloe's car. And I pull up, and it is, like you said, totaled. The front end is just crunched. There's no one around. We haven't got phone calls. I immediately called mom's and said, has Chloe called you? No, why? I was like, FaceTime me. And I showed her the card. Oh, my gosh! And we called, and she was afraid to tell anybody. Because, well, and I get it. You know what I mean? 17-year-old just had your license, not even a day. Now it's totaled, whether it's your fault or not. Turns out it wasn't her fault, so she says, and we believe her. But she was, and that's another lesson that had to be taught. It's like, look, no matter what happens, this is literally the definition of how we do not want to find out. Because you put the fear of God into us. We are scared. You didn't call us. Are you in the hospital? What is going on? And no, I was just afraid to tell you guys and embarrassed, and we get it. But anyway, she got the car back.
Okay.
What was the point of my story? Oh, yeah. So she comes down the hallway, you know, over the weekend, and she's like, okay, hi, I'm leaving, and then just walks out the door. And I'm,
Yeah.
Wait, hey, whoa. What do you mean you're leaving? A, where are you going? B, you maybe want to ask, okay, I get it, you're close to that adult, but you're not there yet, and you still live under this roof.
Exactly.
You need, where did it go? I mean, where all of a sudden did a flip switch in your head to think that you tell us what goes on?
Yeah.
Well, it's difficult sometimes.
My favorite is my daughter's got a job, so she works, right? She gets home, I'm like, hey, you got chores. You got to take care of your dog. Dad, I worked all day. I'm so tired. Really? I worked all day. I still have to take care of your baby brother and do all the dishes, cook dinner. Come on.
They haven't lived life yet, man. We were there too. No. You know, and that beautiful circle when it comes full and it reaches to the point, I can't wait, when she's probably in her late 20s, 30s and goes, sits me down and goes, I get it. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And then she's going to start the circle with her. And it's just,
what I mean? It really is. You have to get them prepared for life, right? You got to teach them to be independent. I think that's one of the most important things we can probably do as a dad is teach our kids how to be independent. You know, I've noticed a lot of other family dynamics where, you know, you have these adult children that are in their 20s, 30s, 40s, and even 50s who still live at home. I mean, granted, we're in a society where sometimes that needs to happen.
Right.
But really, a lot of it has to do with the parents not teaching those kids how to really go out and be independent. So that's something I've really tried to install to my boys. You know, I'm working with, you know, an ex who, you know, still lives there and still has all the kids with their mom and dad and everything like that. And when they're with me, it's like, hey, look, I got them their permits this year, teaching them how to drive. Like, we need to work on things. We need to work on your finances. Like, you know, how do you make a, you know, pay your bills? You need to know how to have a bank account. So all those life skills I've really put into that program that I'm working on. I remember when my ex was pregnant with my firstborn, and I sat back and I thought, man, what am I going to do? Like, I never had a dad growing up. I didn't meet my dad till about 3 years ago. Go over that a little bit, but I didn't know what to do, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm sitting here. I'm like, man, if something happens to me, what's my kid going to do? I mean, I've had to learn from so many mistakes. So I started to draft that out, right? Here's a little bit of life lesson here. Here's what you do here. You know, here's what to look at when you're looking to get into a relationship, you know, buying a vehicle, some financial stuff. So I think having something like that, guys, and teaching not just our kids, but other kids in the community as much of that as possible, you know, is kind of our obligation. I'm working with the kids over here at JDH right down here in Grants Pass. I go to their group on Thursday and try to connect with them and give them a little bit of insight, you know, to, it doesn't matter who you are, or where you came from, right? You still have the ability to get to where you can, to where you want to be. And you don't have to follow that path of, you know, if some of your father or your mother is a drug addict or is incarcerated, you don't have to follow that path. Like, I had some really good role models growing up, some really great men. So, you know, as I get older, you know I can't be there every day for my kids, but I'm trying to be there for as many other kids in the community as possible. We work with Maslow Project, some other.
I hope places. I hit the right button here.
All right.
There you go.
That is for Mr. Jason Smith, because, man, what you're doing is noble, man, and I for one, applaud you for the act. So, I mean, if every father in the world put half as much effort into it and meant what you do, and they did, this world would be perfect, and we wouldn't have much to fix, I think.
Yeah, I think we all, you know, I know we don't all have a lot of time, but, you know, if we have any of our kids with friends without a dad around, I mean, you know, just take them under your wing and, you know, help them a little bit. Just give them a little bit of guidance. You know, you might not even think that they recognize it or need it, but later on, I remember every single person that was in my life that gave me a positive outlook and put me in the right direction. Growing up wasn't always like that. My my stepfather growing up, he was a
and you grew up in Vegas?
No, I grew up in Oregon.
Oregon, okay.
Yeah, I'm an Oregonian. I'm an Oregon boy. So growing up, my stepfather, he was a career criminal. So he was a heroin addict. He cooked meth to supply his heroin addict, or his heroin addiction. So he was in and out of jail, in and out of our lives. So, you know, growing up like that, you know, he used to tell me stories. He grew up down in Southern California. He ran away from home when he was 15. Ended up getting involved with the wrong people and moving stuff across the border. And those are the stories that I grew up with, kind of glamorizing that lifestyle.
Right.
So when you get to a certain point, you're like, man, I kind of want to be like that. I got in a little bit of trouble when I was 16, and I remember sitting in a cell, and I'm like, God, get me out of here. Just get me out of here. I'll do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I could have gotten a lot of trouble. And, man, a few days later, I was out of there, and I said enough's enough. Right. So you see me here. Like, what do you think about me right now?
Right.
When you look at me, do you think that I'm just like some, I went to have, Ivy League school? Or
I
something?
Wouldn't have guessed right? that.
No,
that's for sure. But, you know,
yeah.
I've known to do not ever judge a book by its cover.
That's,
you know,
beautiful. It's absolutely.
I mean, I spent many, many, many years as well was in a suit and tie at a job.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad I don't. Yeah, right. I like being comfy wearing a t-shirt. Yeah. What I do.
I think it's just, it's just who you are. Right. So I grew up like that, you know, like my little brother was my stepdad's son. We grew up together really tight. He ended up going in that same direction.
Right.
You know, he went down that same path. He ended up dying in a motorcycle accident in Central Oregon a few years ago. Head on. But, you know, I had to make that personal decision. You know, do I want to follow down that footstep or not? So when I talk to these kids, I talk to them about rebelling, mm-hmm. right? Like, you guys need to rebel. Like, you are rebels, right?
Right.
Do you want to follow that footstep or do you want to get the hell out of here? Move yourself in the right direction. Like, so me dressing like this is me kind of rebelling, right? So I'm not, I don't have, you know, you guys got the beards and all that. That's great, man. I like it. But this is me rebelling, well, right? I don't have any sleeve tattoos, but that's me rebelling.
This is me rebelling.
Yeah, right?
You guys look great.
Speaking of, you know, shifting gears here, you know, we are in Vianet Realty. Actually, yeah. No, before I go there, by the way, this episode is brought to you in support locally by KMVU Fox 26. Thank you. We are in Vianet Realty, and you two, you're colleagues now, right?
Getting there, yeah. Well, yes, yeah.
Nick is working on getting his license,
yes,
and doing all that stuff to become a full-fledged seller of the properties.
That's right.
A property seller, Mr. Nick Martin.
Yes.
Yeah, and
right on.
I, this is the first time that I've thought about it, you know, in our conversation we just had, Jason. Are you going to, like, bully people into buying houses? Because look at you.
No.
And that's just it. I don't mean to, I'm joking, kind of, but do you understand?
Yeah, yeah.
Is the beard going to go away?
Nope.
Okay,
no, so I'm going to approach this.
You're an intimidating fella just looking at you.
Yeah.
And that's not a good start into any first impression,
but
you know what I mean?
I'm a teddy bear.
Yes, you are. And once, you know, clients start and understand and see that,
so
I don't think
I'm
going to
approach
issue,
this the way I approach furniture sales. Like, okay. I changed the game. Like, furniture sales all growing up, and I was always taught suit, tie, clean shaven, nice haircut, no tattoos. I got the tattoos, started wearing t-shirts and shorts.
Well, society has also shifted a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah, it has.
And you just treat people kindly. You mm-hmm. listen to them, learn about their needs. Don't sell them what they want, sell them what they need. And that's how I'm going to approach real estate. I don't ever want somebody to come and buy a house for me and be totally disappointed in what they bought. I want to find out what they need and why they need it and find the perfect house for them is my goal.
And things have changed so much these last few years. I mean, I remember going, you know,
I'm thinking maybe you should grow the beard and get some tattoos.
You think?
Okay, I mean, maybe. Why not?
You know, it's funny because I used to go pick up my kids at school and you'd see these, you know, the soccer moms, the stay-at-home moms busting out with these neck tats and all that. And then you get into mm-hmm. the minivan and take them to soccer practice. But you know, things have changed. Things have changed so much in these last 10 years. I think anybody just being themselves is going to be successful in any type of business. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of our group over here are just comfortable in their own skin. So, and that's what I really try and produce and support is people's independence. You know, we're an independent company. We're, you know, we're the underdog in this business. We're kind of just starting out. So want to support these brokers and the things that they do, however they want to do it. You know, some places they try to stifle people. We're trying to get them on a path to go up and be 100% that they can be. And then, you know, ultimately we'd like to franchise this here 5-10 years or whatever, but the model is a little bit different. I want people to be themselves, be independent, be their own people. And I think, that's what people are wanting these days anyway.
Yeah. You know, it's an incredible shift in everything. I mean, mm-hmm. I like to compare very broadly, mind you, realty, home sales and car sales, mm-hmm. you know, obviously car salesman, when you get the typical car, used car sale guy, you have, you know, you have an impression, you think. And how has that shifted in not only the last 5 years? Now you do not, you don't even need to go to a car dealership.
Right.
You can sit at home in your underwear if you feel like it, type it up, and get your car delivered to you without any of that. No haggle, no hassle, yeah. All that good stuff.
Essentially, you can almost do that with this too.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. I saw a live video you guys did a couple days ago where I, you know, Grant, me, I'm old school. I want to see the house I'm going to live in before I buy it. Mm-hmm. And that's just, I come on, you know, this is your home. Right. But for people who are a little uncomfortable with it and have the means, there you go. You just got an entire walkthrough while sitting at home, sipping on a coffee in your PJs. Mm-hmm. And I think more options is just so cool these days and how you can
plus
do that.
Plus, it can save the customer time too, where they don't need to go to every single property. They're like, oh, hey, I like these three properties.
Exactly.
I saw everything in the videos. I'm stoked on this. Also, COVID. It's COVID safe.
Yep.
You don't have to worry about going into somebody's home. And again, the seller doesn't have to worry about us coming in with
people.
And
vice versa, right.
So.
Yeah, a lot of people didn't want people, you know, coming through their homes. We've shifted a lot in the last 2 years. Like now what we're rolling out this year, these virtual tours, these 3D tours, you can walk through the entire house and zoom in on everything, every single room. We do the floor plans. We do drone footage, video footage. Our next, the next level that we're going to is actual virtual reality glasses and filming these out where they can go and interact. And I mean, you get to a point where you've seen everything in that house. If you want to go see it in person, that's great. But like the one we have, we've had hardly anybody come through it, but we've had, you know, 15,000 views in it. So, you know, it kind of eliminates the people that are looking, spreading COVID, coming to their house, getting people in there who actually are ready to write an offer or write an offer subject to see in the interior.
Well, I can dig it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, they're making virtual reality drone videos now.
Really?
So, I mean, I hope you're not queasy because you put those things on and it can be kind of crazy. So you can literally fly whatever direction you want. It's nuts.
So I'm going to go off the rails a little bit. Just
this doesn't surprise me.
Right? So the metaverse thing, I've got to, we need to figure out how to sell houses in the metaverse. Somebody just bought a house next to Snoop Dogg for $450,000.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And it's not even a real house.
I know. It's all crypto and NFTs and that whole digital world.
So we need to go find some land next to Snoop Dogg, apparently.
Oh, yeah, let's go.
So some $450,000
homes. What you
need
to do is create your own land and be the almighty emperor of said land and then get one A-list celebrity to purchase and then they're going to flock to it.
Mm. Yeah,
I know the idea sounds great, but I have no idea how to even strategize.
I don't even know where to look to get into the metaverse yet. So
there's a lot of different ones, a lot of different ideas. Who knows which one will take the, you know, take the lead on it. Right. Yeah. With the internet. But, you know, you can go online to Amazon, get those virtual reality glasses. They're about $40. And any of those YouTube videos on your cell phone, you just hit, you can watch any of them.
And or if you spend a little bit extra and buy yourself an Oculus, like I did for my son and my youngest daughter, I spoil them. My gosh, I think about all the stuff that they have and I didn't have growing up. And well, it's my own fault for spoiling them. Now they think they deserve it. Anyway, an Oculus, those things are amazing as far as what you're doing in virtual reality and everything. You don't need to put a phone in there. It's all just, you stick it on and you go.
Yep.
My son was playing it the other night, and I, all of a sudden I hear him screaming from his room, and I run back there. I open it, and he's in there doing his thing, and he's playing a new game that has a bunch of jump scares in it. So he got like a Resident Evil jump scare. He got all scared and stuff. But yeah, the way the technology is going, you know, you got to love it for a lot of it, but, you know, still at the same time, you got to hate it for, I don't know, if we could just eliminate the social media negativity and keep all the positives and everything, then the world would be a much better place.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, we talked about coming out of this pandemic and how things are going to be. You know, there's going to be a lot of people who are going to remain kind of, you know, this, you know, the virtual reality, wanting to be outside of themselves. And then, you know, the rest of the people, I think we're going to be starving for human interaction, you know, being face-to-face, coming into the offices. You know, I think it's important to still have brick-and-mortar locations, still meeting with people. But it's going to be interesting to see that dynamic, how many people want to remain, you know, introverted at their homes, doing everything on their computer, buying everything on their computer, and the people just actually want to go out, shop, be in public and around other people.
I finally was able to go to a concert over the weekend up at Seven Feathers, and it was really weird seeing the crowd and the interaction of a lot of people that were upset because they weren't following the guidelines. Yeah. And just the different interactions of, okay, you know, people wearing masks, not wearing masks. And it was just, it was really weird. It was like, I really want to go back to 3 years ago when things were normal.
We can't, and we won't.
Yeah.
I do not see it ever being the way it was. We may get close, but I mean, heck, I read today, they're talking about making it permanent.
The mask mandate
for indoors, permanent. I mean, you know, I'm all about protecting. We've covered this through and through and through, and about being respectful and being kind to our fellow humans. But mandating and forcing me permanently,
right? What
permanently means permanent.
So yeah, my concern with that is, if not trying to dog the mask thing or anything, but if it works so well, why are we having such a huge outbreak all the time? Like the high school in question, every day I get a text that there's 10 to 15 new kids
it's
testing positive. And they're masking up every day. So
I think they should just for I almost cussed, for giggles, they should mandate no masks for a few months. And let's see what happens.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm willing to bet there's going to be pretty close to the same amount of percentage-wise of infections, et cetera. So we're starting to talk about COVID
probably
again.
The same amount of people wearing masks.
Right. I mean, get off of it.
Okay.
We are here with Mr. Jason Smith of Vionet Realty, author of this amazing, awesome book, which you can get where, Jason, right now?
You can just Google it. It's on Amazon. It's on Barnes & Noble. You can go to WeShareWhenWeSleep.com and get a free download.
Right.
If you want to buy a hard copy, you can buy it online, but just trying to get that message out to those.
And look,
you
know, it's signed even.
Yeah, it's a Nick.
He signed it for Nick. Look at that. Look at that
I got another copy for you if you want.
That's pretty awesome. Impressive. I would love one, man.
Yeah.
My little girl, this one.
Hi, this is Avery. Yeah. Thanks for listening to my dad on Dadcast.
Oh, that's great.
She loves reading.
Okay, yeah, I got another one, actually. I'll give you one. Cool. There you go.
But amazing, man. You spoke earlier about instilling, you know, the proper things, teaching your sons as they're getting older, you know, the important things.
Yeah.
Bills paying, spending money, being polite, all that good stuff. But let me ask you this question. Have you taught them one of the more important lessons in the world? And that is, do they root for the Raiders?
Well, they're down there in Las Vegas. I don't know if they root for them or not. I don't know. I feel like it's kind of a loaded question. I don't know.
Nick was waiting for something serious to drop there.
What? What is more important than what he already talked about?
No, see, not nothing. Well, being a Raider fan's close, but not really.
They should be Niner fans.
Well,
my Niners are still in it.
I'm rooting for them this weekend, man.
Just saying, bro.
I'm rooting for them this weekend, man.
Oh, they got
it. Are you a sports fan, Jason, at all?
Yeah, a little bit. When they get to the Super Bowl.
Okay. Football? Is that your? Are you?
I like football. I like baseball more.
Okay.
Who's
your baseball team?
The Braves, my own.
I know. I'm a Dodger fan, so I'm not a big fan of the Braves right now.
Man, see, I stick with San Francisco through and through.
Yeah.
I've been a Giants fan since I was a little kid. I used to go to the games every summer.
NFL team? Falcons? Putting two and two together.
I was in Kansas for a while. Yeah.
Okay, we'll just leave it there.
Yeah, okay,
all right, Chiefs moving on.
Chief fan. Oh, man. Boy, this one went off the rails badly.
I don't know. Mahomes is a stud, though.
Of course he is. And
my Niners need to pick him up somehow.
Not happening, bro. Happening. You got Jimmy Square-Jawed Garoppolo.
He's all right. He's not a bad quarterback.
No, he's not. Man, here we are talking sports. Let's get back to something. Yeah, right. Uber. You know what? I disagree. It is important, sports.
It is.
It's very important. And I'm super-duper passionate about it. I made a post on Facebook last week that when the Raiders had to play a game to win to get into the playoffs, he was with me, and I am awkwardly full of anxiety that day.
We had to ask him to leave.
That's not true. I decided to leave on my own because it was getting bad. We had an event, and the game was on, and I didn't turn of events. I did, when we planned this event, nothing was going on. Then the NFL decided to move the game that night because it was super important. Then all of a sudden, okay, now I've got this event and the game, and what do I do? So I tried to juggle both. Nope.
Yeah.
I had to go home because it was too stressful for me. But I made a post the next morning after they won how I know many people feel that it's silly how very passionate I am about my Raiders and football season and et cetera, et cetera. But I explained to them that my parents, my father, my mother also really, really loved the Raiders. All right. And my dad passed away about 12 years ago, and my mother passed away like pushing 3 weeks ago now. So it's still super duper fresh in the mind. Mm-hmm. And I said, that's what brings us together. And I'm not even kidding you when I said after that win, the grief, it dissipated just a little bit. I felt like it was just, she was there. She helped somehow. And I made the post and most people were like, no one should tell you it's silly. And they defended me. And anyway, it's super important. And yeah. Anyway, yeah,
it is.
Wow,
you got like
all right.
Got a little sad there, buddy.
I'm sorry, man. It's a sad time.
It is, and
I do my best to try to make it happy and go lucky and not get too serious on these podcasts.
Get it out,
right? And that's what this podcast is for,
that's right,
man. Yeah. So, do you got questions for us, Jason? I'm curious.
You know, I was kind of really excited to be here and learning more about what you guys are, you know, putting out there, more of a message. And I think it's definitely needed. I think it's really needed. You know, there's a lot of people out there that need to be reinforced and have that positive message out there. You know, and I challenge any dads out there that if they can find somebody along the way, you know, doesn't have a positive influence in their lives, to take them, you know, fishing with the family, take them camping, spend a little bit of time with
them. Take them to a Raider game.
Take them. Okay. That's a positive reinforcement.
Oh, yeah. In your case, take them to a Chief game.
Yeah, I'm completely kidding. But, you know, there's definitely a need for it. And, you know, learning about video and stuff like this, I'm going to do my YouTube station and put it out there to more on the Teach Us to Fish, to do my videos. I have this entire, I have hundreds of hours of audio, hundreds of pages of writing. I'm going to put together and get out there, you know, for these kids.
What is your YouTube channel?
I don't have one yet. I'm working on it.
Oh, you haven't? Because I know there's a Viant Realty one.
Yeah, there is.
But you haven't built a personal
channel yet? I haven't built a personal one. All right. We're working on the video here in the office. I'm learning how to do the video, do the editing, do this stuff. And I'm going to, you know, put that material out there just free to the public, free to the kids who need it, you know, stuff on important subjects. You know, even getting down to, you know, making it through, you know, suicide, stuff like that. So,
well, that's a positive message, a positive thing you're going to be doing. I see no reason why that wouldn't be. Well, actually it should be successful, but in today's society, in the way things are, unless you're pranking someone or putting on cat videos, I find the meaningful, important channels take a little bit longer to gain traction than, you know, a guy. And you know what? That's fine.
Yeah.
You know, obviously you're not in it to get rich with it. You're in it because of the message. And that right there is what will make it successful.
Yeah, I think so too. Just having it out there.
Yeah.
Right. You know, you put your message, you put your content out there, and who needs to find it will find it when they need to find it.
Right. And if you got Nick working social media on your side, I promise you they're going to find it.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's
and they're going to overfind it.
You know, I call him Tenacious N.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tenacious Nick.
Yeah.
He is very, very tenacious when it comes to the social media.
Yeah, that's good.
To the point where, gosh, why can't I share something as often as you? I can.
You can.
Why
you
am
should.
I not? It's
exactly.
Oh, is it because I've got children and 18,000 jobs and all the editing that I need to get done for you?
That's right.
Yeah, there's that.
For us.
For us. Yes, for us. Well, there's also those extracurricular activities, but no, there's no excuse, but I'm glad I got you. That's probably why I don't do it, because I have Nick to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you guys make a good team. It's
and
great.
I'm glad I got you, because I wouldn't be able to edit the videos.
It's the brotherly love happening again.
That's right.
This episode is brought to you locally by KMVU Fox 26. Thank you. We are with Jason Smith, Viant Realty, author of We Share When We Sleep. He's doing great things for the community. He's doing great things. He is, from what I've gathered right now in talking with you in this last 45 minutes, the foundation and of what a dad should be, can be, will be, it's right there in that package, man, and I applaud you.
Thank you. That means a lot.
And I can't wait to see everything that happens that you're doing. It comes to fruition, man. That's amazing, especially in your community. We need more of it. Again, if you are interested in helping the man out, you have questions for us, go ahead and send us an email. All the information is available at dadcast.co, our website. Check it out. Nick, do you have a fast five for him?
I didn't do a fast five today. It's kind I've been running like crazy the last couple of days. So
I'm gonna ask a couple random questions. Cool. We're gonna leave this episode on a soft.
I'm gonna ask one because you'll probably stressful. Steal one of mine.
Okay. Yeah. If you could have a billboard of anything,
yeah.
I'm kidding. That's the next question. Were you gonna?
That's what I was gonna ask.
What music are you into?
I like
it's not that. A trick question.
Yeah, you know, I don't really have a particular type of music.
What's in your truck right now, or car? I don't know. Do you have a truck?
It's just a training video. I listen to motivational DVDs. All right, and CDs, fair enough, man. Yeah, I don't know.
All right, switching gears.
Okay, I liked the Marty Ray Project. That was fantastic. Yeah,
you can't go wrong with the Marty Ray Project.
Yeah,
I'm unbiased. I like all kinds of music.
You know, we love the people who we manage.
Yeah,
that's right.
They're amazing. Check out Marty Ray Project.
Yeah, it really was.
Yeah. Do you watch TV or movies?
I watch movies.
All right. What is your favorite movie of all time? If you had to pick one, you're stuck on an island and you can only watch that movie. I don't know how they got electricity on that island, but there is, and you can watch one movie over and over for the rest of your life. What's it going to be?
Year One. Year One with Jack Black.
Year One with Jack. Wow. That is not the answer I was expecting. No. I love it. That's a great
Have you
play.
Seen it? Yeah. That's I used to own the DVD I watched.
That is hilarious.
Yeah. Wow. Now I've got to go watch that movie again because it is one of the funniest movies I've ever seen.
What is your go-to meal? What's your favorite thing to eat?
Tacos.
Man after my own heart.
Yeah, 100%.
I was going to slap you if you said it was the raviolis you had.
The Nutra system?
Yeah.
Ooh, it's Harley rumbling by. All right, Nick. And Nick has a question.
Yeah, so if you could have a billboard with anything on it, what would it be?
And Vionet why? Realty.
You know, it's funny you say that, and that's probably what it would be. It would be that logo right there, and I'm going to tell you why, because it's not just the business, right? It's kind of like a beacon of light for me. I started this back in 2007, went through a couple of bankruptcies, went through hard times, a lot of issues in my own life, lost my little brother, and just knowing and plowing through it and just keeping this on my forefront has helped me through some really dark times. So this isn't just about a business for me. This is part of my life. It keeps me moving forward and ahead. And so that's why I do what I do.
That's awesome. Yeah. So I'm going to give you the backstory and why I ask that question every single episode.
All right. Oh boy, here it comes.
So when we first started, I bought a billboard on Crater Lake Highway in Medford because it's the busiest highway down there.
Yeah.
That said, the number one parenting podcast in the world.
All right.
And we had like an episode out.
Yeah. And we had, what, like 1,000 Facebook followers?
Yeah, and even today, I'm not a bad parent. In fact, I border on pretty gosh darn good, if you ask me, or anyone else, and my kids.
Except our teenage daughters.
But I'm by no means the number one parent in the world, and the show at that time was by no means the number one parenting podcast in the world.
Absolutely not.
But... yeah. That's funny stuff.
That is funny. You know, we just we actually have the first kind of billboard we put at the Lava Lanes out there in Medford. Mm-hmm. It's not a picture of me. It's not a picture of the logo. We have like 5 or 6 people that are just like really excited and screaming on the top. It says, "You ready to win?" Right. So we're just keeping it real with our marketing and advertising. I don't put my face on anything. It's all about the client. It's all about everybody else. So yeah,
I think there's space. You know. In between, in the lower part of the A for a little Jason.
No.
Maybe an animated version of. No, okay,
it's,
we're good.
It's bigger than me.
All right, Jason, thank you so much, man.
Dude, for coming it is on a pleasure, podcast. Nick. This is fantastic.
Thank you for providing your awesome space here to do this episode. We appreciate it, man. We'd hope to have you back on in the future. I have a sneaky suspicion we will be seeing more of each other in the future. To everyone listening at home, in the car, wherever you may be listening, thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you. If you're watching on the YouTube, please like it up. Subscribe if you haven't done so already. Hit those bells. Send us a comment. Do whatever you like. We appreciate it. If you hated the episode, just smash it down. That's cool. We'll take it.
Tell us what you hated about
it. Yeah, if you like it, cool. You know, if you're kind of right there in the middle and you're like, I do not want to hit the thumbs up. I do not want to hit the thumbs down. You got issues, man. Work them out.
That's right.
Thank you so much. We'll see all of you next week. Once again, this episode has been brought to you locally by KMVU Fox 26. Mm-hmm. See y'all next week.
Later.
Nice.